That's what the Bible says. That's one of those great promises you find in the Word of God. Go to the book of Proverbs now. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse number 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now you want to pay attention to that. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Psalm 119 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Notice how wisdom and understanding are connected to the Lord's words. Did y'all notice that? There's that connection, connected to what God says. I just showed you in James chapter 1 that God gives wisdom. And now I'm going to show you the number one place where you will find God's wisdom. Verse number 3. He says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. You see that? God giveth wisdom. James said he gives it liberally. And he doesn't upbraid people. He wants them to ask for it. But notice, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Verse 6 says, the Lord giveth wisdom. How does he give it? Out of his mouth. That's his words, back to verse number 1, his commandments. This is what I do. I'm just going to tell you what I do when I need wisdom, and I need it all the time. On any subject, when I need wisdom, the first thing I do is I pray. And I say, Lord, I need some wisdom. And I claim the promise of James 1:5. I claim the promise that God gives that wisdom liberally, that he does not scold people when they ask for it, and that he gives it. I claim that promise. I say, Lord, I need wisdom. I don't have it, but I know you got it. And you give it, and you want to give it, you're liberal with it. So that's the first thing I do. But then the second thing I do, and I imagine you probably figure it out by now. What do you think the second thing I do? Ask my wife. Who said that? Who said that? Was that you, Miss Ruth, that said that? Hey, my wife is a wealth of wisdom. I promise you that. She has a lot of knowledge about a lot of things and doesn't mind sharing it with me either. No, I'm just teasing. The first thing I do is I pray. And I don't mean I just pray one time, but I pray repeatedly about it. But the second thing I do is I go to the Bible. Because God gives the wisdom, right? He's the source of it. And the Bible says that it's out of his mouth that he gives it. You know what you have right here? You have his words, his commandments that came straight out of his mouth. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Isn't that what it says? This is God breathed. This is his words that we have right here, the infallible words of God. And it's from those words that we get the wisdom that we need. That's how God gives it to us. And so that's when I have a need of wisdom, and like I say, I need wisdom all the time. I pray and I read my Bible. And it seems simple, I know, and it seems cliche, but it really isn't. It really isn't. If you want wisdom from God, you're going to have to pray for it, and you're going to have to read and study your Bible. And if you're willing to do those two things, then God is very liberal with his wisdom. He'll give you the wisdom that you need. But anyhow, back in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much in largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Verse 30, and Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. That's an interesting statement where it says that his wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east. You know who that would be? The children of the east? Those eastern countries? That'd be like India, China, Japan, places like that. Have you ever stopped and thought about how many philosophies about life and religions have been spawned from that part of the world, those parts of the world? Have you ever thought about that? Like Buddhism, for example, Taoism, Confucianism, all of those different religions like that. You know where that stuff comes from? Those eastern countries, that's where that comes from. And there's a lot of people, I mean just multiplied thousands of people that go to those religions. Not just the people that live in those parts of the world, but there's people all over the United States right now that call themselves Buddhist. You know, they go to these religions, not necessarily to those parts of the world to live, although some people do, but they go to those by studying those religions because they believe it's in those religions that they can find the wisdom they need to live. But look at what that verse says now. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East Country. Now, if that says what it means what it says. I don't have to go to Buddhism to get the wisdom I need. There's a better source of wisdom than Buddhism. Y'all follow what I'm saying? There's a place I can go where I can get better wisdom than that, in other words. I don't have to go to that. And really, people that do are just deceived. But there's people that go to those religions and they seek that for the wisdom they need. But you know what you can do? You can save yourself a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of travel. Just go to the book of Proverbs. You ever thought about that? If you want better wisdom, what I'm telling you, if you want better wisdom than all of the wisdom found in all of those religions, you know what you do? You read the book of Proverbs. Why'd I say you read the book of Proverbs? Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon's the author of Proverbs. And the Bible says right here that his wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. So the people that are investing in those religions and seeking wisdom through those religions, they're just selling themselves short. They're studying something that is inferior. There is a greater source, an infallible source of wisdom that is on this planet right now. It's found in the Bible. Verse number 31, for he was wiser than all men. He was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. These people mentioned here, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 2, were the grandsons of Judah. And none of these men are mentioned before this point right here in the Bible. It's the first time they're mentioned. But evidently they were men of wisdom. But what you find in verse 31 is that Solomon was wiser than all of them. Wiser than all of them put together. And because of his wisdom, his fame was in all nations round about. That's what it means when it says his fame was in all nations. It means that he was famous for his wisdom, in other words. Word had spread and people knew of the wisdom of Solomon. Now look at what it says in verse 32. And he spake 3,000 proverbs. 3,000. Obviously, we don't have a record of all of those, but we do have a record of some of those. He spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So So not only did he speak Proverbs, but he sang songs, or at least authored songs that were sung. Now, hold your place here and turn first of all to Proverbs chapter 1. You know how many chapters the book of Proverbs has got? It's got 31 chapters. Most months, not all of them, but most months have somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 31 days, don't they? And I would say that a good habit, and this is something that I started doing years and years ago, but a good habit, I think, for a Christian is to, at the beginning of the month, first day of the month, just start Proverbs chapter 1, read the first proverb. Then the second day of the month, read Proverbs chapter 2, and just go through the book of Proverbs. Because the book of Proverbs was written, authored by the wisest man to ever live outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 1, Proverbs 1:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, King of Israel. And notice these things that the book of Proverbs will do for you to know wisdom and instruction. You want to know wisdom? Read the book of Proverbs. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. All of those things can happen when a person will read the book of Proverbs. Go to the book of Song of Solomon. You have Proverbs that was authored by Solomon. Ecclesiastes was authored by Solomon. And the Song of Solomon was authored by him. And I show you this because it mentions here that his songs were 1,005. That's a lot of songs. But according to the scripture, there was one song that he authored that stood above all the other songs. And that's the one that God recorded for us in the scripture. Because look at what it says in Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse number 1. It says, the song of songs, which is Solomon's. When it says the song of songs, you know what that means? The song of songs. It's like you got all these songs that he wrote or that he authored. But this one is the song of songs. That means this is best one right here. This is best song. And God put it here in the Bible for us. So this book here is actually a song that was authored by Solomon. And that's the book of the Bible that Brother Rouse continually wants me to go through. He wants me to go through the book of Song of Solomon. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to defer and just let him teach through it. How about that? Back in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 33, it says he spake of trees. This is going to be in his singing and in his proverbs and probably just in conversation, just in talking. He spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon. Lebanon was famous for cedar trees and fir trees, as we'll see in the next chapter, even under the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. Hyssop is a fragrant blue-flowered plant. It's of the mint family. And if you read the scripture, you find that it was used to sprinkle blood. They would take a hyssop plant and they would dip it in blood, in a basin of blood, and sprinkle that on the tabernacle, on different things, different instruments on the tabernacle or in the tabernacle. He spake also of beast and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. Spoke of all that stuff. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. So fame has gotten out, word spread, people are coming, they want to hear when he speaks his proverbs, they want to hear when he speaks his songs, when he's talking about all these trees and animals, they want to hear it, they want to learn from him. And I believe, like I said, that all of us can learn from his wisdom. If we're willing to put the time in to read, we can learn from his wisdom. And I can tell you about the book of Proverbs. There is so much wisdom in that book just for practical daily living. Just practical daily living. Just how to conduct yourself and live your life on a daily basis. How you're supposed to treat others. The way you're to handle different situations. So much wisdom there. Any questions about what we looked at here in these verses? Any questions? Y'all got all the wisdom you need tonight. All right, well, 1 Kings chapter 5. Y'all thought I was going to stop, didn't you? We are going to stop in just a minute, but I want us to just kind of get an introduction to chapter 5. Because in chapter 5, Solomon starts making the preparation to build the temple. In verse number 1, it says, "And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David." So Hiram was the king of Tyre, and he had a good relationship with David. In fact, it says he was ever a lover of David. Obviously, that's just, he was a dear friend to him, and he loved him a lot. That's what it's talking about. And when he found out that Solomon had been anointed king in the room of his father, he sends his servants unto Solomon. He's wanting to make sure that the good relationship that he had with David continues on with Solomon. And really, that's what you find. There's a good relationship that exists between them. Verse number 2 says, "And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, Thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house under the name of the Lord his God, for the wars which were about him on every side, until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet." And that's what God told David when David expressed his desire to build the temple. The Lord told him that because he had been in all those wars and was a bloody man, that he wasn't going to let him build it, but that he was going to let his son build the temple. Solomon turns out to be that son. One thing you want to notice there in verse number 3 says, "Thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house under the name of the Lord his God." Now we're going to stop here. The Lord his God. That shows you that David, as we've said before, had a personal relationship with the Lord. Psalm 23, verse number 1, David said what? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He had a personal, his own personal relationship with the Lord. And that's what it's about. Every individual must have their own personal relationship with the Lord. The question I have for you tonight is, do you have a relationship with the Lord? Do you know for a fact in your heart that you are saved and that he is the Lord your God? Do you have that personal relationship with him? And not just in the sense of salvation. I mean, that's where it begins. It begins with you get saved to where he becomes your father and you become his child. And that's the most important decision in life for anybody. You can't go to heaven without it. But as a Christian, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord, an intimate relationship with him, where you know him in a personal way? Here's what I believe. I believe that every one of us are as close to the Lord as we want to be. And you hear people say, "Well, I sure would like to be closer to God." You're as close to him as you've chosen to be in your life right now. Because at any moment in your life, you can move closer to him, can't you? Get closer to him. You can move closer if you want to. I don't believe our Heavenly Father is up in heaven trying to beat us back, you know. All right, now, whoa, you close enough here. That's close enough. I'm not going to let you. No. He welcomes us and wants us to just get closer and closer. And really, that's what the Christian life should be about. I can tell you this, if you're stagnant and you're not moving, you're not doing what God wants you to do. If you just, and that happens a lot of times in a person's life. They'll just get to a spot in their life as a Christian, and for whatever reason, they'll get satisfied with their closeness to God, satisfied with their relationship. They just stop right there. And many of them will spend 20, 30, 40 years of their life right there. But what God wants is for us to get saved and then throughout the remainder of our life on this earth, just continue and continue and continue to get closer and closer and closer to him until the day he calls us home to be with him. And that's my prayer for every last one of us. Amen. That we'll just get closer and closer. That we'll never, no matter where you are, that you'll never, ever, ever be satisfied with the relationship you have with him, but that you'll always want to move closer. Any questions, any comments before we dismiss? Y'all a talkative bunch tonight. Y'all are